Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the gospel lesson, especially these words. And looking up to heaven, Jesus sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, after Jesus opened the ears of the deaf man and loosed his tongue, the people said about him, he does all things well. Well, that's an understatement if I ever heard one. Here, Jesus is fulfilling the prophecy of our Old Testament lesson, which says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. It seems like wherever Jesus went, he healed people. It's almost as if he couldn't help himself. He meets someone with a problem like this deaf man, and the compassion just flows out of him, and he heals him. When the creator of the universe walked this earth in the person of Jesus Christ, the creation was just crying out to him to be healed, to be fixed, for the brokenness to be ended. For the creation knows, as we know, that things are not right. When Jesus sighs before healing this man, I can imagine it's a sigh of exhaustion with what he sees around him, the brokenness, the unbelief, the sin. Can you imagine Jesus walking around on this sin-filled earth, the world that he created, perfect? And it causes him to sigh. Of course, he restores the hearing and the speech of this man. How could he not? But there is another sort of deafness that we should pay attention to, one we see throughout Jesus' ministry, and that's what I'm going to call spiritual deafness. The unbelieving heart is closed to the word of God. It is deaf to it. And spiritual deafness leads to wrong speaking about spiritual things. Just like physical deafness or being hard of hearing can make physical speech difficult, if not impossible, so not hearing what God is saying to us through his word can make us think and speak wrongly about spiritual things. And just like a physical hearing impairment, where perhaps certain frequencies are hard to hear, so it is with God's word. We may gladly hear and be responsive to certain parts of it, and yet tone deaf to other parts, choosing to ignore those parts that we simply don't want to hear. And so we need our spiritual ears constantly opened and reopened by God through the power of his Spirit in his word. As we come here this morning, as we gather together, we are those who hear the words of God. We have had our spiritual ears opened by him. You being here this Lord's Day is testimony to that. We have been called by the gospel. We have been enlightened with God's gifts. We are spiritually hearing. The word of God has penetrated your heart and your will. God's Holy Spirit enables you to speak rightly about spiritual things. We are spiritually hearing, and yet, I would say that even for Christians, our hearing can sometimes be selective. Perhaps selective listening is a better phrase. I don't know if your parents ever said to you, or perhaps you might have said to your children, you hear me, but you're not listening. Meaning, the sound waves are traveling into their ears, but the words are not being comprehended, or they're just deciding to ignore what you're saying. The words aren't having the effect that you might want. And we can each of us can be like that with God's word. We have spiritual hearing impairments. We have selective spiritual hearing. I was speaking to a man the other day, and he told me that he believes he is sinful, and he will go to heaven on account of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. But he also told me that he believes everybody will be saved, even the devil, because God doesn't want anyone to be in hell. That's, of course, a true statement. God does not want anyone in hell. He wants all to repent and turn to him for salvation. But his thinking is muddled. He's not properly hearing all of God's counsel, not understanding the doctrine of hell, the biblical teaching of God's wrath over unbelief. He has tuned out that particular message from God's word. Bad hearing, or selective listening, if you will, leads to misunderstanding, and it can lead to wrong speaking. Consider Eve in the garden. You can almost hear her trying to talk herself, or at least think herself, into taking that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and eating it. She had selective hearing, closed herself off to part of God's word that he wanted her to hear, and wrong thinking led to wrong speaking, led to wrong doing. The people of Judah in Jeremiah's time came to Jeremiah to ask him to inquire of the Lord about what they should do. They promised Jeremiah that they would do whatever the Lord told them. Jeremiah received a word from the Lord, and the Lord told him that the people should stay in Judah under Babylonian rule, not go to Egypt, where they assumed that they would be safer. Jeremiah came and reported this to them, and how did they react to the word of the Lord through the prophet? They replied to Jeremiah, "You are telling a lie. The Lord our God did not send you to say, 'Do not go to Egypt and live there.'" They wouldn't hear. So they spoke against God and his prophet, and they left for Egypt. Selective hearing can lead to all sorts of misunderstanding about God and his word. For example, consider the truth that God is love. It's true. God's word says so. But that doesn't mean that God loves our sinfulness. Or another one, "God knows what's in my heart." Again, true. But what's in your heart? Heart is a dark place. There's sin there. And so you need to be reminded regularly of that and of the gospel that cleans our filthy hearts. Or a common idea even among Christians that our loved ones become angels in heaven when they die. Nowhere does Scripture say that. Our souls do leave our bodies, and our souls do get to be with our Lord in heaven, but our souls will be reunited with our bodies when Christ returns in glory. We are and always will be human beings. God will raise these bodies from the dead to eternal life with him. We all have gaps in our thinking, even pastors. Things we've heard that we accept as gospel truth, and God's word can cut through those things, and it does. But unfortunately, we sometimes have another problem, our tendency to become lazy with hearing the things of God. I know for myself, I've spent way too much time listening to words about COVID or Afghanistan or whatever. Certain topics titillate our minds, they excite us, and we can quickly become bored with the words of our Lord. And yet, we constantly need to be reminded of even the most basic truths of our Christian faith, as summarized, for example, in Luther's Small Catechism. Luther writes about this, actually, in his large catechism, where he says, "A shameful and insidious plague of security and boredom has overtaken us. Many regard the catechism as a simple, silly teaching, which they can absorb and master at one reading. After reading it once, they toss the book into a corner as if they are ashamed to read it again." May the Lord keep us from such boredom. But Luther goes on to encourage us. He writes, "You will never offer up any incense or other savor more potent against the devil than to occupy yourself with God's commandments and words, and to speak, sing, and meditate on them. This indeed is the true holy water, the sign which routs the devil and puts him to flight. For this reason alone, you should eagerly read, recite, ponder, and practice the catechism and God's word, even if the only blessing and benefit you obtain from it is to rout the devil and evil thoughts, for he cannot bear to hear God's word." End quote. It's true that the world, our sinful flesh, the devil would like us to hear other things, other messages. They would like to stop up our ears to hearing the truth of God's word. They bombard us with alternate messages, other words, things that run contrary to the word of God. And so what is that word of God that we need to hear? Perhaps simply the words, Ephphatha, be opened. God's word does the work. Just as it did for the deaf man in our lesson, it does for you. God's word opens you up to receive it, to rejoice in it, to believe it. The words of Jesus caused Lazarus to rise from the dead. They caused the blind to see. They caused the deaf to hear. The words of Jesus opened your ears in your baptism, separated you from the world of unbelievers. The Lord's word put his name on you, called you by name, made you his child. Whatever physical ailments you might be dealing with, whatever difficulties in life you may be dealing with, whatever sin you may be dealing with, be opened. Be open to the word of God. He has already called you his own, made you his own, and he continues to call you and strengthen you through his word, through his sacraments. And when Jesus returns on the last day, he will say the same words to you, Ephphatha, be opened, and your grave will be opened. Your new eyes will be opened. Your new ears will be opened, and you will stand and look at your Savior, and you will hear his words directly from his mouth. So, brothers and sisters, heed the words of Isaiah. Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.